Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Welcome back, Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, we've been doing this every single week, previewing a division in Major League Baseball. We're going to focus now on a wide-open division. You wouldn't think so with the defending World Series champion Kansas City Royals in it, but the American League Central's got a lot of good teams and a lot of promise. Chris Swick joins us from Yahoo Sports Big League Stew to help us break down this division. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to breaking down the AL Central.
All right, let's start with the champs, the Kansas City Royals. And there's a lot of questions I could ask you, but I want to get your thoughts on Ian Kennedy. Not very good numbers in San Diego. Are the Royals seeing something in him with a better defense behind him, Kauffman Stadium when he pitches at home? Is there a silver lining to this deal that they're looking for out of Kennedy?
Yeah, I think they're looking for a couple things. So as you alluded to, Kennedy wasn't great last season. But there was somewhat of an odd issue in San Diego. It's a park that's typically played really friendly to hitters. And for whatever reason last year, it became super friendly to home runs. You know, that's been, when Kennedy has struggled, that's been a big issue for him because he's not a guy who relies on a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. He is a guy who can mix in some off-speed stuff, doesn't throw very hard. And when he's not locating that fastball or when he misses, it's going to get crushed. So I think, you know, that's part of it. I also think this team has had success the last couple of years, you know, picking up scrap heap guys and turning them into useful parts. You know, mostly I'm thinking of Edison Volquez, who came over from the Pirates after having a pretty good season, but I think people were worried that he wouldn't be able to replicate it. He obviously did. And then Chris Young has just been fantastic since joining them. And, you know, both of those guys were at points in their career pretty much afterthoughts. So I think that's part of it, too. Now, that said, I have some concerns. I mean, that's a big deal to give Ian Kennedy, and you have to forfeit the draft pick.
Is this team, is the blueprint still the same? Play small ball, get those runs across, and let that bullpen shut you down?
I think it is, yeah. And you know, the other big thing that they do really well is they play great defense. And with all these guys coming back, I just feel like that's got to be the goal. And, you know, they kept everything together for a reason, I feel like. You're not going to see any drastic changes from last year.
Chicago White Sox. We talk about teams that have a rotation, that have a good 1-2 punch. How about the White Sox, a 1-2-3 punch, Sale, Quintana, and Rodon? How good is that part of their rotation?
I think you could put those three up against probably almost any in the majors, and maybe that's a surprise to some. You know, I think that the problem here is that Quintana, he just continues to be underrated every season, and I think a function of that, at least among more casual fans, is his win totals. It seems like the guy every year leads the league in blown decisions or no decisions. It just he goes out there, he pitches well, often, you know, is good for a quality start, and then for whatever reason, the White Sox either blow the game or they don't score enough runs to get him a win. So I feel like he continues to be underrated. Rodon, I think people know the pedigree. He was the third overall pick in the 2014 draft. And there were some struggles definitely early on as far as command. He has some trouble sometimes throwing strikes with the fastball. But that improved as the season went on. And he kind of turned on a switch over his last couple starts. And it seemed like this was a guy who finally got it. And, you know, the other promising thing is the White Sox have preached with him learning to throw a changeup, and that was something he really started to do a lot more in the second half. So I just feel like, you know, the guy we saw in the second half could be the guy that we see going forward. And if that's the case, you know, he and Sale could be a really tremendous 1-2 punch, and they both throw from the left side. So I don't know that you're going to find many other rotations that can feature that at the top.
This seems like a really solid lineup for the White Sox. To what degree does Todd Frazier make it better?
Yeah, Todd Frazier was easily their biggest add of the offseason. I think there are reasons to be concerned, particularly with his second halves. It wasn't just last season. It was the prior year. He's gotten off to these nice starts, and he's faded a little bit over the second half. You know, that being said, the options they had at third base were below replacement level. I mean, we're talking, I don't know, guys who you probably don't even want starting in AAA. So bringing in a guy like Frazier, who is definitely above average, even if he goes through another slump, I just think that's a major upgrade, probably one of the best moves of the offseason.
Chris Swick joins us, Yahoo Sports, Big League Stu, as we go over the American League Central and our Major League Baseball previews this spring training. All right, you got to help me with Detroit here, because health is important for everybody, no question about it. But with the Tigers, I see a team that's very old. So in that regard, how important is health going to be to the Tigers' success?
Yeah, it's going to be crucial, and I agree with you. I think, you know, they've reached a point where their core is really on the verge of one final run, and that could only last this year. And I think, you know, the owner, Mike Ilitch, realizes that. That's why he's willing to spend money in this team, despite the fact that they were pretty awful last season. But we saw, you know, Jordan Zimmermann, Justin Upton, those are pretty elite adds. As far as age and injuries, it's a big-time concern. Victor Martinez was definitely not himself last year. I think we saw Justin Verlander have a little bit of a bounce back, but we've also seen some of the wear and tear on him in seasons prior. And, you know, we know the fastball isn't as hard, and he's had to rely on some other stuff. And we also know that he's had his fair share of injuries in the past, and those could crop up. And I hate to say it, but the same thing's kind of happening with Miguel Cabrera. You know, he rarely goes on the DL, and he's played through a lot of injuries, but the last couple seasons he's had these nagging things that have kind of slowed him down. And, you know, to say that for him is tough, because he'll still bat 320. But you just start to worry about that. He's now 32 years old, and those guys typically don't get healthier as they age. So those three are definitely big concerns for me. And then Anibal Sanchez in the rotation, he's coming off an injury-riddled season, and that rotation gets thin really fast. So losing anyone in the rotation is going to be a big problem.
The Cleveland Indians, are they the chic pick that everyone seems to think they are?
Well, you read my mind a little bit.
Okay.
This is a team I really enjoy, at least on paper. I think everyone is well aware of that rotation and what they're capable of. You know, the thing that clicks for me a little bit going back to last season was the team's defense. It was pretty atrocious in the first half, and they were able to improve quite a bit by just calling up shortstop Francisco Lindor and their third baseman Giovanni Urshela. Now, Urshela's probably not going to start now that they've signed Juan Uribe, but if he's on the team and makes the team, he could be a pretty solid defensive replacement. Lindor is fantastic defensively, and that's going to make a difference, you know, not just overall with the team defense, but, you know, sometimes I think that gets overlooked with pitching as well. You know, we saw Corey Kluber with a bit of an inflated ERA, despite the fact that his strikeout and walk rates were identical to the prior season. I think, you know, you can expect him to perform better. You can expect Carlos Carrasco to perform a lot better. Just overall, having Lindor up for the full season is somewhat of the key for me. And, you know, I still have a lot of faith in this team's offense, I think.
Minnesota Twins, they were a 500 team last season, above 500 last season, but they weren't good in the second half of the season. Is that a little bit of a misnomer, how, because they went off to that good start last year?
Yeah, the Twins confuse me quite a bit, because the team is young. The farm system isn't what it was, but that's because they experienced a lot of promotions last season. Particularly, I'm talking about Miguel Sano and Byron Buxton. Pitcher Jose Berrios is on the way. So part of me wants to sit here and say, well, if those guys improve, you could see a contender here. But at the same time, I just kind of look at what they did last year, and a lot of things, to me, scream that they overachieved. And they were in somewhat of a position where this offseason, you know, they could have talked themselves into making a splash or two and really gone for it. And they really didn't add much. I mean, their biggest add was Byung-ho Park, the Korean first baseman, and then John Ryan Murphy, who's going to be a backup catcher for them. So they really confused me this offseason.
Chris Swick, Yahoo Sports, Big League Stu on the American League Central. Talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you so much.
Sounds great. Love it.
All right, coming up, we'll talk a little baseball, get Adam's perspective on the AL Central, and put the finishing touches on this hour on NFL free agency. 800-777-2907. If you want to get in the conversation, you can also leave us a note on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, and on Twitter, @Tony D Radio. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.